are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Am is the essence, I is the witness, abide with total presence. Who is the question? Am is the essence, I is the witness, abide with total presence. Back in the day, there was a great sage by the name Maharshi. He didn't preach, all the ever did say was ask yourself the question, who am I? Then stay present and ignore any answers. That's just your brain cancer. The story narrator, the conflict instigator, the one they call the mind, make him face the mirror, who am I? Repeat it like a mantra until ego throws a tantrum and gets booted out this mansion. And now there's no more question. I am that I am essence before the manifested of the sun, earth, and fleshes. I am his total presence. If all of life's a painting, then I am is this canvas. Prior to the brushstrokes, consciousness is mirror smoke. Who's the one that wants to know? I will go when ego goes. Am I a phenomenal? Hollow whole finumeral. You see the tight conundrum, because it's both sides of the pendulum, subjectively observing, creating this momentum. The I am that tennis match, left to love, the place is packed, but all the games are just an act. The ego squatting in your flat, screaming, where's the owner at? He doesn't hear an answer back, so he thinks that he is that body, mind, vehicle. I am is ethereal, fueling all materials, totally invisible, so go beyond the physical. Who am I? The mystical. Who said that? The ego still follow to that hollow tube, the peace of bliss and solitude. The only one cannot be two. The duel is in your mind, dude. None of this is actual. It's all matter factual. Matter is still malleable, so mold it into vacuum holes. Beautiful and magical. I am is behind it all.
What's up, people? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. I want to thank you, brother. Chances
sitting on the mountain. They say that he's older than most of these boulders, that his body sits on the existence.
Check this out, guys.
A time and space magician, a master over Maya. He's burning up these thoughts of all your wants and desires. See no storm can touch.
I'm a terrible vocalist. Welcome to the show today. You've just tuned in. How is everybody doing? Sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from my heart to yours. I'm your host, Davey. Are you ready to raise the vibration? We have a wonderful show lined up for you today. Is it possible to heal ourselves with our thoughts alone without drugs or surgery? Right now on the vibration station, we all know that we talk about mind over matter, energy, right? Being able to use your mind, your belief, to control certain aspects of your physical body, along with your physical realm, experience, reality. So, we're going to be talking about some studies today with a very special guest. And we just might change the way that you perceive pain, surgery, pills, painkillers, your ability to heal yourself or not. Check this out. It's really interesting. So, can we really engineer our own cells and control our physical destiny? And if so, can we program our genes in our brains to create or manifest future experiences inside or even outside our bodies? I would like to welcome our on-air guest today, Dr. Michelle. How we doing? Dr. Michelle, are you live with us on the air? Hello? Dr. Michelle, well, it seems like the doc on the couch. Looks like we are having a momentary Skype problem. Doc, are you with us? Hello, on the couch. Well, if you would like to, you can give us a call back. We have a wonderful show lined up with the doc on the couch. If you have not checked out her show on LA Talk Radio, make sure to do so every Friday at 11 on the couch with Dr. Michelle. We're going to have her call him back in just 1 second here. I'm going to start talking to you guys about some of these literally miraculous, literally, absolutely, absolutely miraculous studies that that cater to the exact topic today. Looks like we have Doc on the air with us. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks so much for having
me on
the air.
There we are. No problem. Sorry about that a moment ago.
Yeah, no problem.
Looks like we just had a brief little hiccup. But hey, that's what life's about, right? Using the contrast to provide us more of what we want, right? In that moment, I said, I want Doc. I want Doc to talk to me now. And I manifest. Bam, here it goes. Here you are. Talk about instant manifestation. Just kidding. Doc, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show with us. It's always a pleasure to have your insight. You are such a brilliant woman. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I just thank you so much for having me as your guest, because you know I love this subject. And
yes,
I've done a lot of research, even dating back to when I was in college, when I was in my 20s on this subject.
So about seven, eight years ago?
Oh, I love you. You're the best. Let's just say over 30 years ago.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, Doc. Well, time is all relative. So that's another show. But so yes, you know, that's actually the reason why I called you up and asked you to join me for this episode, because you are an expert in I'd like to say the mind over matter arena when it comes to psychology, right? And Doc, I'm just going to ask you one quick question, then I'm going to pass the mic to you. Isn't that kind of a controversial topic in the psychological world? Is, you know, giving you know, medications for depression and, you know, people, you know, PTSD and all these different things that psychiatrists subscribe, right? Prescribe to their patients, right? Versus having a psychologist say, well, listen, think yourself into this, feel this way, and it will actually change your brain matter to where you don't need the medications. Talk to us about the contrast of mind over matter in the psychological world.
Well, that's a great subject. In the psychological world, most of us, and I say I'm referring to clinical psychologists and therapists, we work with a lot of patients who have diagnosed mental disorders. I work with people who have bipolar disorder, major depression, a lot of anxiety disorders, panic issues. I've worked with schizophrenia patients, that kind of thing. And so mind over matter, here's the thing. A lot of scientific study has been done about our neurotransmitters and the chemicals in our brain, and I won't make it clinical and scientific, but basically the medication replaces or encourages some of that neurotransmitter material to get through your brain. So let's just say that someone who is depressed, sometimes they say, doesn't have enough norepinephrine or serotonin. So what happens with serotonin reuptake inhibitors or SSRIs? You know, let's just say Prozac, very common medication. What it's doing is it's helping the production of serotonin in your brain. So people are being given this, and they indeed show results that they feel better. They're less depressed. Their moods are better. They're just, you know, and all the other medications that are similar.
Right.
On the other hand, and, you know, if you have other disorders, the schizophrenia, they have, you know, dopamine, antagonists, as they're called. They're putting too much dopamine. Their brains have too much dopamine, so okay. We have to pull it back.
Indeed.
All right.
Indeed.
So what I'm saying to you is there's chemical medications that change our neurotransmitters.
Right.
So this is true in that people change. Now, is it true they change because they've been told they're going to change?
Okay.
Or because they actually have changed.
Right.
Well,
I'm sorry. Go on.
In both cases, we've seen difference. So here's the thing. Psychologists, our job is to work with the mind and tell people and help them, in my case, be more positive.
Yep.
Use thought tools or cognitive tools, behavioral tools, how to do things differently, how to talk to people differently, how to think about your life differently.
Right.
To change and help the chemistry in your brain that's not working for you. So it's not a big controversy per se in my community, because a lot of us work with psychiatrists and we just accept the fact that, oh, maybe the medications will help them. But our job here is to help people talk it out. So there's not a war going on between the doctors, the medical doctors and the psychologists. But there's a combined effort.
Right.
But our part is very important and has shown that people don't need meds sometimes to get out of their depression.
Right.
Or get out of their anxiety. My specialty is anxiety and depression. So by working with people and their psychiatrists, I found that we can slow down their medications and they can start thinking differently and living their lives differently and therefore having less depression and less anxiety.
Wow. Wow. Doc, and for listeners out there, I'm sure that you guys have probably heard stories about documented cases of those who reversed cancer, heart disease, depression, along with a bunch of other diseases by believing in a placebo. For those of you that don't know what a placebo is, the placebo effect refers to the phenomenon in which some people experience some type of benefit after being given a placebo or a substance with no known medical effects, such as sterile water or saline solution or a sugar pill, but whoever's providing the subject with the sugar pill or sterile water or saline solution, they're actually telling the subject that it is a medication that has been, you know, scientifically formulated to help whatever this person is suffering from. For example, the psychiatrist in a placebo experiment, the psychiatrist would give, somebody says, I have depression. Well, the psychiatrist would give them, 10 sugar pills and say, well, these are antidepressants. Take one a day and in 10 days you will feel better. Well, what the studies show is these people can, and this is not a real study, this is just an example of what the placebo effect is. The studies show that, you know, in my example, 10 days after the people take the sugar pill, they have convinced themselves, because they think they've been taking the antidepressant, that they actually are, you know, happier. They're like, wow, it's worked. It's working. When in actuality, the whole time, it's been their belief in taking the pill that has rearranged the neural nets and the chemical compounds of their brain. That's placebo. Doc, we're going to get into a little bit more of that. Doc, having you on the vibration station, right, we are advocates of using your mind to really break the old paradigm barrier of, you know, you have to take a medication to get better. You know, if you don't take these antibiotics, you will die from this disease. Do you know what I mean? We're trying to kind of shift into a more enlightening state of understanding of how our bodies heal and how they work. You know, my goal here on the Vibration Station when it comes to informing people of how to heal their bodies is to let them know that they can heal without anything other than, you know, their belief in that. So I want to ask you, from an educated standpoint, do you see our society within the next generation Shifting into a more holistic way of approaching, you know, the medical industry?
That's a great question. I do see it because of people like you. I think your generation is very much into more holistic medicine practices. I mean, in the West here, we are really involved in, well, most of the holistic medicine practices have come from the East.
Right. Right. In the West, you know, we need Advil.
That there is,
you
know. Shift.
Yeah.
But I, what?
Oh, I said in the West, we need Advil. You know, in the West, we take a Tylenol when we have a headache, you know. In the East, they just light some sage and do a chant.
There you go.
No, but go on. I apologize for interrupting you. No.
I do see a shift slowly happening. I do think that there are a lot more people in, you know, the young adult generation who are willing to believe in and try holistic medicine. But let me just make something really clear.
Okay.
I'm not putting down, you know, the medical community.
Of course.
I am not at all in any way, you know, saying that modern medicine and surgeries and medication is BS.
No, it's not.
Because,
it's not.
You know, FDA studies, and if we didn't have some of the medications that we have today, honestly, I think a lot of people wouldn't be alive. You know, you look at history, you look at typhoid fever that, you know, millions of people died from. You look at all of these viruses and, you know, it's funny, I was just talking to someone the other day who was studying leprosy.
Mm.
People who, Huntington's disease, I believe they call it now. But they didn't have a cure, and they put these people on this little island of Molokai in Hawaii to just sort of die because it was very contagious, and they all had leprosy and horrible, you know, symptoms. But the thing is now they can cure it. Now that, you know, they have certain medication that you don't have to suffer from this anymore. But hundreds of years ago, they were just kind of thrown out to an island to all get sick and die together. So
what I'm saying is that this huge,
you know, medical community and the research being done all over the world is amazing. So I'm not putting the medical community down because it has saved lives. And quite frankly, it's helped me in some of the things that I've been through physiologically. So
yeah.
I wish my mind were more powerful with certain things, but I'm working on it.
Well, you know what, Doc? That actually leads us into the next aspect of this that I wanted to talk to you about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if our brains are so powerful, right? If there are studies that show that we can overcome cancer and, you know, other diseases by simply, I guess, allowing the wellness, do you know?
Yeah.
If our brains are so powerful, why don't we use our brains to take over our fears and cure ourselves, right, of mental and physical illnesses, right?
Well, I think that, again, we're used to working with modern medicine and really believing in modern medicine, and it has helped. And people do feel better with medication. People do take, we have a friend right now who has double pneumonia, and he's taking antibiotics. He may have died if they didn't have these antibiotics years ago.
Wow.
Absolutely. You know, his mind is, you know, going yes, and his body's agreeing that these antibiotics are, you know, killing this bacteria in his body.
Right.
But what's going on in the mind when people get sick or what, you know, again, I think people just have, I don't know, people believe that, you know, they are sick. And I don't think that our beliefs are always as conscious as we think they are.
Exactly. Okay? That's a powerful. Because I was going to say,
Go on. We may accept the idea on the surface.
Right.
But if deep down we don't really believe that we can get well.
Right.
Right? Then our acceptance is just an intellectual process. Right? So what's going on here? Let's suppose a person goes to the doctor with certain symptoms, and they're diagnosed with a condition that the doctor finds, right? And the doctor says to the patient, there's a diagnosis, okay, that's what you have, and here's the prognosis. In other words, is it going to work? And here are the treatment options based on the average outcome. So the moment the person hears the doctor say, like, diabetes or cancer or whatever, or chronic fatigue syndrome, this is a big one that I hear lately in my patients, a bunch of thoughts and images and emotions are conjured up based on what we hear and read and scary stuff and what we're feeling. And so, you know, it could be anything. We watched a news show about it, or someone in our family had it, or whatever, right? And someone may have died of it. So once we see the doctor and hear, like, a professional opinion, we automatically accept the condition. And then we believe what the doctor has said and finally surrenders to the treatment. So we go, okay, and possible outcomes. And the thing is that we're kind of suggestible to what the doctor says.
Right.
So if that person embraces the emotions of fear and worry and anxiety along with sadness, and, you know, because they have experienced and seen and heard all this stuff, that's going to be, they're going to be really down and depressed.
Right.
So patients can try to have positive thoughts about beating a disease, but their body still feels bad because, you know, they're just not there.
Right.
Right. And they can't, let's just say, perceive any new possibilities. So patients are pretty much at the mercy of his or her beliefs. So that's what's kind of going on in the brain. So, you know, people accept the finality of their diagnosis and prognosis. And, you know, it's, we're just sort of, please help me, please cure me, and that's it, and I have no power.
Right, exactly. And that mentality is what creates the dependability on the outside resources to feel better, right? So, you know, my next question for you, Doc, when you pretty much answered it, was, you know, what do you think are some of the reasons why we get sick? Well, I guess you could go off on more of that.
Well, right.
But... Well, please, go on, a little bit more of that.
There's been a lot of research done, and I'm taking my research, too, from National Cancer Institute, and just to let people know, there's the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, and the guy who I interviewed Friday on my LA Talk radio show, Dr. Joe Dispenza, wrote the book You Are the Placebo, and I'm using some of his research from the book. And Dr. Wayne Dyer, of course, you've had a lot of shows about him and stuff. So here's the thing. When we string a succession of thoughts and feelings together, they become ultimately what we call automatic.
Right.
Or habituated, their habits. And then we form an attitude.
Right.
Right? And so how we think and feel creates a state of being. And attitudes are really just kind of shortened states of being.
Right.
And they can fluctuate from moment to moment. And you and I have talked about this with the law of attraction and managing our thoughts, right?
I just want to insert something real quick. An attitude, Doc, what I found is an attitude is actually your relationship, your vision of your relationship between you and something else. That's what an attitude is.
Yeah.
So, like, you
and
know.
That's right.
Right.
So, example, like, if you have a series of good thoughts that are aligned with, you know, as you say, high vibrations, a series of good feelings, you might wake up in the morning and say, I have a good attitude today.
Right.
Right. And if you have a bunch of negative thoughts that are connected to a group of negative feelings, then you might say, I have a bad attitude today.
Right.
Right. And if you keep thinking the same attitude enough times, whether it's a great day or a bad day, it becomes automatic.
Right.
So if you repeat or continue to maintain certain attitudes long enough, you string those attitudes together. So that's how you create a belief, which is just sort of an extended state of being.
It's a thought you keep thinking.
Right. Beliefs are, you know, thoughts and feelings, attitudes that you keep thinking and feeling over and over again.
Right.
Until you hardwire them in your brain.
Exactly.
And you emotionally condition them into your body.
And then they become second nature. And then you start judging things, you know, or thinking a certain way about things without even deliberately or consciously knowing that you're thinking that, just because you've gotten so used to creating, you know, that initial judgment or that initial, you know, relationship with that, you know, so you you strike an attitude or you strike an emotion, which then, you know, brings something back for you or makes you feel a certain way, you know. But I guess what I'm saying is we don't give ourselves enough credit for the control that we have over those instantaneous thoughts and feelings that we send towards the things that we feel like we have relationships to. For example, Doc, you were saying, you know, you form an attitude around something. And that, I mean, the attitude that you form around something is really the constructing factor, the fundamental basis of how you will experience it, how you will interact with it. Because your attitude to something, like I said briefly earlier, I'm sorry I cut you off, I really truly believe your attitude with something is your belief of your relationship with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's creating the neural net. So for example, let's say that let's take relationships, okay? Let's say that you're a girl, right? You're a 23, 24-year-old girl. You've been dating, you know, and you just want to find a good guy, right?
Right.
Well, you have a relationship before you even go out for the night, before you even put your heels on, before you even put your makeup on, before you even get in the shower, you have a relationship with your mental perspective of what you think guys are gonna treat you like, whether it's what you want or not, whether you think that you're deserving of a guy that treats you well, or whether you can't find that whole factor of you that knows that you're deserving of it, whether you're blocking yourself off from that, your attitude, your relationship that you've created with whatever it is predetermines your outcome. That's why, you know, when the girls are getting ready and they're like, you know, they're thinking to the girls that don't find the good guys already have thought to themselves, there's no good guys out there, and I'm sure that the only ones I'm going to find tonight are sleazy and are just looking to get laid, right?
Oh, you nailed it.
They have, even though they preach to their friends, all I want is a good guy. All I want is a guy that you know, treats me well. And all I want is a guy that respects me and sees me for, you know, a powerful and, you know, delicious woman. You know what I mean? But so that's, it's what you're putting out. And you know, same thing with money. And that's a powerful thing, especially in our society. Money, the relationship that people have with money is such a definite reflection of their physical manifestation of how much money they have. Before, you know, I was having a conversation with a good buddy of mine the other day. He's very successful, owns a business. We're talking about society's relationship with money. We were talking about, we go, dude, you can look at people in a impoverished part of town, right? And look at one thing that they all have in common. And then you can look at people in a wealthy part of town and see one thing that they all have in common. When the impoverished people wake up in the morning, they expect to be impoverished. They expect not to have a lot of money. They expect to have to struggle for their money. They expect to have to struggle for the daily grind. And they are okay with it. They've created their neural nets, just like we're talking about, Doc. They've created the full-on neural net solidified concrete relationship attitude perception of money in their brain well before they even started to, you know, go out for a job that could make them more money, you know? Now, the wealthy people, they wake up and they expect millions of dollars. They wake up and they say, you know, I'm worthy of millions of dollars. I'm here to have fun. I've already done it. I can already do it. If somebody else can do it, I can do it. Let's do it, you know? And then they feel good about it and it comes. That's just... I'm sorry for going on that rant. I'm just so passionate about people lining up with what they think, with what they want. It's just a matter of deserving it. It's a matter of knowing that you're worthy. It's a matter of moving into thinking that you can heal yourself. It's a matter of knowing that the cancer doesn't have to kill you and that you can actually use it to become a stronger person. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's all how you approach it. Sorry. Okay, that's it. I'm done. Doc, it's all you.
No, I agree with you. I'm going to approach it from a scientific point of view because a lot of your listeners are totally into the vibration station and manifestation and all that, but maybe I can sway some people from the scientific community as well.
Right.
Because I want people to understand that experiences, good and bad, from our past,
right,
are women who come into my office who see me.
Right.
Tell me, in Los Angeles, there's no good men out there. They're all dogs. All they want is sex and move on. They treat women badly. They have so many negative beliefs built up in their brain.
Right.
And my job is to say, wait a minute. You know, there, I see some really nice guys in my practice who are about your age. And I'm not going to fix you up with them, by the way. But, you know,
right.
There's a lot of good guys out there. Read stories about all the wonderful things that people do, young men have done, charitable things. Go out into charitable organizations and volunteer. Meet guys in a religious. Go to the temple. Go to church, meet good people. Don't go to a bar. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's loose. It's about getting picked up. And then you keep building those belief systems that guys are mean. And then you keep believing those systems that you're not pretty enough, you're not sexy enough. And it's just all in the mind. And I work with them saying, it's about your mind believing.
Well, thank you, Doc.
You know?
No, you know, it's just...
There's a whole bunch of research.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, it's so true. And, you know, you hear about it, you see it in movies. It's so dominant in our society. It really is. It's so dominant in, you know, in all aspects of our society. In the media, in, you know, it's right in front of us. You know, ever greater. We're never going to stop, feeling for more and wanting, you know, more and a greater experience. But what I'm saying is it's so blasted in our faces that you're not going to be good enough until you get that. You're not going to be complete until you need, right? And even back to the medications, you need the pill or you won't feel better. You need the pain pill to get rid of the pain. You need the surgery to get... And I'm not putting these things down. And I'm right there with you when, you know, you said to the medical community, I'm not at all saying that these are not valid, full, serious, healing practices to take these medications and to take the surgeries and stuff. I know for a fact that these medications and surgeries have saved millions and millions and millions of people's lives. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that is not the only route. What I'm saying is it's time for the people to empower themselves. Who doesn't want more power? That's all I'm saying. Not in an egotistical way, but in an energetic way, in a self-fulfilling way. Who doesn't want to be fully empowered? Who doesn't want to believe that they can, you know, regrow an arm if it gets cut off? Do you know, like, you know, and I know that I'm going into like Dragon Ball Z X-Men, but I'm really going to the extreme. But I mean, who doesn't want to believe that, you know, if they cut themselves off, that they can heal themselves? Or who doesn't want to believe that, you know, if they break a bone, that their bodies, that their cellular structures, that their conscious brilliant, alive, atomic cellular structures actually have the consciousness ability to regrow itself with directed intention. Do you know what I mean? Like who,
yeah.
who doesn't want to believe in these things? That's all I'm saying.
And to have the
proof just makes it feel good. Do you know that's having the proof is a bystander to the feeling of what it feels like. That's all I'm saying.
You said the magic word too. Conscious. You said conscious.
Yeah.
Yes. Research shows that 95% of what we do, this is kind of scary, how we operate, when we drive, we're on our computers, the way we talk.
Right.
95% of it comes from our subconscious.
Right.
Because we're programmed from our early experiences, that's what keeps us safe. That's how we survive. It's old brain stuff.
Right.
5% is on the here and now conscious level. Meditation, being aware of the here and now, looking at the trees, breathing, enjoying food when we're in the now, playing music. That's a conscious state. And I'm going to tell you something else that'll blow your mind. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
There is so much research showing that our attitude affects our health. Yeah. Ready for this?
Yeah.
The Mayo Clinic.
Okay.
Okay. Published a study. Oh man, it was probably about 12 years ago.
Oh wow. Okay.
That followed almost 500 people for more than 30 years.
Wow.
Okay.
That's one hell of a study.
It is. This is called a longitudinal study. In other words, we watch people over years and see what happens to them.
Right.
The study showed, and they interviewed all these people, and they showed that optimists, people who believe more positive thinking, were healthier.
Yep.
Optimist literally means best, suggesting that those folks focus their attention on the best future scenario.
Right.
Got in a car accident. Oh, well, it's going to make me more aware.
Right.
I've got an illness. Oh, well, I better be less stressed. You know, positively, I'm going to get better. It's going to be okay.
Right.
The optimists had fewer problems with daily activities as a result of their physical health or their emotional state. The optimists experienced less pain, felt more energy, had an easier time with social activities, were happier, calmer, and more peaceful most of the time.
Probably wealthier, too.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I mean, and it's probably about the belief that they could, you know, they did have the energy to create what they wanted and do well in their life.
Exactly.
And this came on the heels of another Mayo Clinic study. Ready? It followed more than 800 people for 30 years, showing that the optimists lived longer than the pessimists.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Now, researchers at Yale followed 660 people who were 50 years and older for 23 years.
Wow.
And they found out that those who were positive and had a positive attitude about aging, in other words, I'm going to overcome my fatigue, my illnesses, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to be positive.
Right.
Those who are positive.
I'm going to focus on feeling good. Yeah, yeah.
About aging, about their health, they lived more than 7 years longer than those who were more negative about growing older.
Yeah.
And attitude had more of an influence on how long they lived than their blood pressure, cholesterol, smoking, body weight, or exercise.
Of course.
Their belief in how long they were going to live was more effective, because some of these people drank. They weren't alcoholics, but they smoked. They were a little heavy.
Yeah.
They didn't exercise much. They had some high blood pressure and cholesterol. But their belief systems overpowered some of these physical conditions.
Exactly.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
It blows my mind. I mean, it blows my mind, but then at the same time, it doesn't. Because it's like, it totally does, but then it's totally like, it blows my mind that not everybody like gets that. Do you know what I mean? It blows my mind. And I'm not like putting anybody down at all. I'm just saying that it's yes, Doc, that is amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. And the fact that there is so much to back it up, the fact that, you know, it'd be one thing if there's a collective of people that are just saying, you know, oh, just feel better, da 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 da, feel better, because everybody wants to see results. You know what I mean? I like to feel good first, and then feel the results. I feel like our society is introverted. We got it. We need to see results and then feel good. It's about finding vibrational resonance, feeling good first, and then allowing for the results. You know, that's kind of what we're moving into. But what I'm saying, regardless of that, is if we can really understand that there is science behind this. We're not just coming up here and saying, feel better, life is going to be good, and, you know, fairy tales, and, you know, fairy dust everywhere, and da-da-da, millions of dollars, you know, you can just dream it, you know. No. But, I mean, it's like, we're really just like, you know, dude, if you feel good, you will live longer. Like, we're not pulling anyone's leg. We're just, our whole intention, and Doc, tell me if this is not your entire purpose of, like, life. It's like, is it not right, just to, like, let everybody that you come in contact with, or everybody that sees you, to know, you know, to spread the message, to let them know that they are way more powerful than they think? That, like, that they can really feel and do and be and act and live and experience physically any way that they want to? Isn't that just, like, the gift of gab right there? Do you know what I mean? That is, like, man, I just... And I just love that there's science behind it. I love, Doc, I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate your boldness, by the way, for being able to be the clinical psychologist that you are, having the education that you have, and, you know, taking the risk to go into media and say, you know, well, there is, there are these studies out there, and I think that's awesome, and I really think that it's people like you, Dr. Michelle, that are on the leading edge of shifting this paradigm. You know, same with, you know, the whole Marianne Williamson idea. You know, we're shifting this paradigm into understanding that there are alternative ways of healing and of feeling better. It's not, you know, it starts in you. And I love this quote. I've said it for years. In the words of Michael Jackson, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. You know what I mean? I love. And if there's one dude that got it, it was Michael Jackson, okay?
Yeah.
Like, you know, regardless.
He was a little self-destructive. He wanted to just zone out, and he was an addict, which was so sad.
Of course, that is super sad. But earlier in the days, when he's in the light, when you can see in his face, he did not focus on. He's always happy. It's always good. You didn't hear Michael Jackson say, like, you know, oh, I'm not going to have enough for that. You never heard Michael Jackson say, oh, I won't be able to do that. Oh, I can't hit that note. Oh, I can't. You know, he woke up and he was like, dude, I'm going to change, you know, millions of people with just tuning in to me and dancing. Like, that's awesome. What a guy. I love Michael Jackson.
It's so, I do too. I love his music.
Awesome.
I loved his music and when he was younger too. Yeah. And he was positive. He really was.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But
powerful stuff, Doc.
So
powerful
right.
stuff.
It's my pleasure, you know, to come on and talk about this. And there's I used to read all about psycho-cybernetics even before I started college, and this was a very famous book that they used this thought process to help athletes, and its imagery and seeing yourself perform the certain, you know, athletic feats before you go into the Olympic Games.
Right.
And so it was about believing and having imagery. And this, you know, there's a whole other thing that I wanted to just briefly mention about how we can change our thoughts and how we can actually change our bodies.
Absolutely.
So when we're truly focused on an intention for some future outcome, whatever it is, if we can make the inner thought more real, Okay, then the outer environment during the process, the brain won't know the difference. Here's the science.
Yes.
Our bodies, as the unconscious mind, will start to experience the new future event in the present moment. We're signaling new genes, new chemistry, and new ways to prepare for this imagined future event. So if we continue to practice enough times a new series of choices and behaviors and experiences that we would like over and over again, we're installing new neurological circuitry.
Right.
It's
right.
True.
Right.
And what is it? Our imagination. What do? We can go into quiet spaces, close our eyes,
right.
and imagine ourselves healthy. Feel.
Exactly.
See how it feels.
Exactly.
Imagine ourselves in the job we want.
Right.
Imagine ourselves with wealth, as you suggest, but doing well over and over again. Dr. Joe Dispenza calls it mental rehearsal. It's been around forever. But the more we can, it's meditation. The more we can actually envision ourselves in a better place, or those young women with a good man.
Yeah.
I'm with a good man. I met a good man. My body's, or the sick people, my body is going to get better, and I'm healthy, and I see all the bad cells going away. It's imagery.
Yeah.
Our brain doesn't know the difference between our imagined thoughts and what's really happening.
Absolutely.
We need to believe it, though.
Wow.
We need to believe it.
And Doc,
it can happen.
Yeah. That is powerful stuff. That is monumental. That's the new paradigm stuff that I'm talking about. And Doc, I want to add one piece to that. I'm going to take one step into the quantum world real quick.
Yeah.
A lot of the teachers that I've listened to and that I consider to have taught me what I know and what I believe today. When you imagine, when you are taking the time to close your eyes and use your imagination to visualize yourself with the empires that you want to create, with the bank accounts that you want, and with the house that you want to live in, and the cars, whatever. When you emotionally can vibrationally cue yourself up into imagining that and feeling that, like you said, you're preparing yourself for a future event in your head. You're preparing it, right? You're actually moving through space and time. This is in a quantum mechanical world. You're actually sifting through space and time, moving towards, depending on your feeling, moving towards or away from whatever it is. If you are thinking about it and feeling lackful and doubtful, you're moving away. If you're thinking about it and feeling excited and joyful, you're moving toward.
Yes.
That's just what it's all about, Doc.
It's so true. And it is science.
It is science. This is scientifically proven. This is real stuff, guys. Dr. Michelle, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It is always a blessing. It is a pleasure. It means the world to us to share your knowledge, your wisdom, your brilliance with us on the Vibration Station. We send you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to check out Dr. Michelle every Friday on the couch at 11, LATalkRadio.com. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on the show. We love you so much. You're the best.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's always my pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to you soon, Doc.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I want to thank all of our listeners, always sending you guys all the love in the world. We will see you guys next Sunday. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Good Vibes Station. We love you guys. Make sure to keep that vibration raised. Bye-bye.
Listen up, y'all, I miss those days, chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now I'm in another days, unconditionally missing y'all and all the silly games like, will we used to play and see?
how fast we hit smoke out of gore and burn our tree. But really, it was all about the good times. Doesn't matter if we had stacks and dimes, we got each other until the end of this rhyme. At least that's how it seemed, that everything was fine.